prayers tonight. Made an effort to speak this morning at Summerduck, and then came back by Cedar Creek this afternoon and was able to be with Brother Forrest there, and made an effort to speak there. And tonight, as far as my physical thinking and everything, I feel pretty tired. We had a good day yesterday at Amelia, but it's a 3-hour trip down, a 3-hour trip back, and especially when you're following a GPS different both ways, it can seem like it's even longer. There are no shortcuts, I don't think. We didn't find them this trip anyway. So I feel pretty tired physically, and I pray the Lord will just bless us to get past that. I know He's able to do that. He's done it before. And if it's His will to bless us tonight, we'll be all right, and whatever that is. And I do believe if we ask Him, He will give us what we stand in need of. So you pray for me as I stand before you. I'd like to read in your hearing tonight, or begin by looking at a passage of Scripture found in the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament. I'd like to read beginning at verse 5 of the book of 2 Kings, the wonderful account that's been left on record for us of Naaman and the healing of Naaman. I know that's very familiar to you, but it's very much on my mind tonight. I want to think about this as the Lord would bless us, remembering what the Apostle Paul told us in the New Testament about those things that were written aforetime, that they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So when we're reading the accounts of the Old Testament, we want to draw from them as the Lord would bless us, the lessons that we need that would apply to our life. We sang that hymn tonight. I was thankful that we sang that the Lord is just the same today. But I think it's about 3 verses of that talk about things that occurred in the Old Testament and under the times of the Old Testament, how the Lord delivered His people in the Old Testament, and one in the New Testament about Pentecost and the day of Pentecost. But the good news tonight is that the Lord of the Old Testament is the Lord of the New Testament, is the Lord of today. He's just the same today. That hymn isn't only a good... the only reason it's a good hymn is because it's based in the truth. It is the truth of God's Word. And when we read about these accounts of it given us in the Old Testament, we want to remember that they are for our learning. They're written for our learning, and that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. It increases our hope as we're living here in this world to learn more about what the Lord has done. And as we, by faith that is God-given, the gift of God, are able to embrace those wonderful truths of the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're able to face our lives trusting more in the Lord. And whatever comes, whatever may happen in our lives, we know where to go. That's one thing that we do in the church, is point to the Lord Jesus Christ as the way and the truth and the life, because He is absolutely that. And there is no other way. There are many people calling a lot of things ways, many people who have many ideas, as we'll even see in this account. Man's ideas and man's thoughts were completely contrary in this account to the ideas and the thoughts of the prophet of the Lord, which was given to him. His ideas and thoughts came from the Lord. The prophets under the Old Testament spake as the Lord moved them. God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, we're told in the book of Hebrews. And in these last days He's spoken to us by His Son. But in the Old Testament, the Lord at different manners and different times spoke by the prophets. And this is about a prophet by the name of Elisha, and he was a mighty, mighty prophet that was in the land of Israel, living in different places at different times, but he was the prophet of Israel. The wonderful thing about the prophet of Israel, it seemed like the king of Israel didn't know very much about the prophet being there. But there were always those people that we would consider the underlings, the ones of the ones that would not be the main characters in a story or in a novel, that seemed to have much more wisdom than the ones that you would have thought would have had the most wisdom. And that is absolutely the way God has operated down through the Scriptures. It's how He's operated in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's how He operates today. The things that men would consider wisdom, the wisdom that's of this world, the wisdom that's sensual and devilish, is not coming from above, that wisdom will blind you to the things of the true wisdom of God. And the more you have of that wisdom, the more it hinders you from seeing and understanding truth. And though we think that would help us or assist us to come to know the things of God, the Bible teaches us that the world by wisdom knows not God, cannot know Him, will not know Him. But by the wisdom that cometh down from above, which is first peaceable and pure and easily to be entreated, and that wisdom that comes from God, we declare that wisdom tonight from the gospel. We declare that wisdom to God's children who have the ability to absorb, to understand that. And the wisdom of this world, the things of God are hidden from the wise and prudent, but it's revealed unto little babes who are given the wisdom from above. Isn't it wonderful to have a wisdom from above? If you don't have that wisdom from above, the things I say tonight, if I'm preaching the truth, won't make much sense to you. As a matter of fact, you'll discount them. But once the Lord has given you the faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and you are then able to believe and trust and hear the truth, you hear the wisdom, which, by the way, Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is the source of our wisdom. It is wisdom that He used to build His church. He built His church, and He has in that great wisdom, wisdom has built our house. Seven pillars have been established by the Lord. We have all that was in the church and put into Christ built His church. And He has made her in such a way that the world cannot see the beauty of His kingdom. And yet God's little children, by an eye of faith and an ear of faith and a heart of faith, can see that which is hidden from the wise and prudent. So when we're reading the accounts of the Old Testament, we don't want to operate in the wisdom of this world. We want to operate in the wisdom that comes from above, that the Lord gives unto us. And that is, and really, when you're declaring the truth, you're declaring that wisdom to God's little children who have the ability to feed on it. Well, we're reading 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And that first verse tells us of Naaman and who he was. He was like the general in charge. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He had, in the eyes of the king, he was a great man. The Bible says he was a great man with his master. That would be the king of Syria. He was one who had been a benefit to Syria, a benefit to the king, had been a general that was successful in his activities as a general and was well recognized and honored by the king. He also was an honorable man, which means he was not only that, but he was respected by others that knew him. He was one that they would have that was well known, honorable. And this is the reason, because by him, and I love this, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. You see, sometimes we get the idea there are things that God is involved in and other things that are kind of running on their own, and this is something. But what we want to remember in a world, this is a wonderful thing to remember tonight, is that in a world that seems to be running so on its own at times and so amok, we sometimes wonder what's going on in this world. And I'm not at any way tonight saying that God is responsible for all the things that are taking place in this world. God is not the author of confusion. And when you see confusion that's in this world, you don't charge that to God. But I want you to know tonight, without any doubt, God is on His throne and in control. And here, this captain of the host of the king of Syria, it was by his hand that the that The Lord had allowed the Syria to be in the place that it was in. It was the hand of the Lord that had given him any ability that he had had. And he was a mighty man in valor. And then that little statement comes at the end. It just kind of changes everything, doesn't it? You know, but he was a leper. But he was a leper. And what that verse really reminds me of every time I've read it, and I know some of you have heard me before even talking about this passage, and that's all right, because I'm going to probably say a lot of things you've heard before anyway. I hope I do. I hope I don't bring you anything that's after. I hope maybe the Lord will bless us to you to see something that's not necessary, that is not new. I don't want anything new. But I hope you'll be maybe able to see something you haven't seen before, so in that sense it's new to you. But listen, if it's a truth, it's not new. It's not new. It's that same truth that has been declared. He's just the same today. His truth has not changed. Brother Jamie and I talked yesterday a little bit about truth. And that which is truth today will be truth tomorrow. If the truth changed, it wasn't the truth to begin with. The truth does not change. God's truth is the only truth, and that truth is going to be the same. And there is an absolute truth, and there are many men who would argue about that. They would tell you the truth is what you're thinking at the moment and what you believe tomorrow. That becomes the truth for tomorrow. Listen, if it's true today, it'll be true tomorrow, and it was true yesterday, and it will ever be the truth. And if we change the truth, and it was the truth, we no longer have truth. That's why we want to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. We don't want to preach or teach anything, any gospel, other than that which has been preached and that which has been received, and that will be the truth. That statement here says he was a leper. He was a leper. When I think of that verse, I think of all the things we might try to attain in our life, get our list, our pedigree together. You know how much that impresses God? Absolutely none at all. Doesn't matter how much money you got in your 401k, or if you have one, it doesn't matter how much fame you've got. Doesn't matter what men think of you in the sight of God. It doesn't. I'm not saying we're not to live our life in as much as we can to be peaceable with all men, but I'm saying the number one most important thing in our lives is that we're walking in a way that's pleasing to the Lord of heaven, to our God, pleasing Him. And what men think of us is very unimportant compared to what the Lord would have us to be. And not only this, when we try to please Him and get into His good graces, His acceptance through our actions and through our efforts, there's one little statement that's going to mess us up every time. And that is not that maybe we were a leper, but He was a sinner. You see, sin is a problem. And we all have that problem. It doesn't matter what else we do. No matter how much we work, how much we labor, how much we try to do this good thing, that good thing, whatever we do. There is a question that we have to have an answer to. And that question is, how can we as sinners have fellowship with a God who is holy and righteous? And there's only one answer to that question. And that answer is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one who can cleanse us up to make us fit for heaven. There's only one who can cleanse our lives and has, if we are His children, He has died on the tree of the cross and paid a sin debt for us that we might have life, that we have life, have been given life, and that life is most abundant. There's one who's paid a price we could not pay, and that was the only one who could help really Naaman with his problem also. His disease was a disease that ate away the body physically. Leprosy was a dreaded disease, incurable, especially at this time. I don't know all about what leprosy is and how it is, but it was considered incurable. And you can get that right from the scripture, because when the king of Israel was given the letter that said, "We need you to cure Naaman," he got mighty, mighty afraid, because he said, "Who am I? Am I God that I can cure leprosy?" He knew where it had to come from. Anyway. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And I find this little sister so very, very impressive. First of all, this little sister had been somewhere in the among the nation of Israel, and a group of almost like thieves had come by and stolen her, and now she's been sold into a form of, I guess you would call it slavery. She certainly was not free, and she was serving as a servant in the house of Naaman. She was serving Naaman's wife, and you would think of all the people that would want to help Naaman, she would probably be the least one that you'd ever think about wanting to help Naaman. You know, isn't it amazing how God works and how God moves? Listen, if I had been her just thinking about things according to nature, naturally speaking, I wouldn't have cared if Naaman got leprosy and died. I would, you know, this Naaman in part or in some way was responsible from, if I was that little sister, he would have been responsible for taking me away from my family and my nation and my people. And she was obviously one who knew the Lord, because she said, if he'd known about the prophet in Israel. And what was about the prophet in Israel? That he had just some power on his own? Listen, Israel and the children of Israel understood that the only power that a prophet had was the power that came from Almighty God. Elijah wasn't a powerful man of God based on his own power and ability. He had been given the anointing of Almighty God and called to be a prophet of the Lord, and given that power by Almighty God. And Elijah, we can see in his life, when the Lord was with him, what a mighty man he was. But when the Lord wasn't with him, and he was outside of the will of God, he was just like any other man. You know, you see him over there standing before Ahab. And this, I know this isn't Elisha. Elisha comes later. But what's good about knowing about Elisha is, and knowing about Elijah, is that the same spirit that was on Elijah, or a double portion of it, had fallen on Elisha, because Elisha had been there when Elijah was carried away by the whirlwind and the chariot, and carried up to heaven, translated into heaven by the power of Almighty God. And Elijah had told Elisha, if you're there present when that takes place, a double portion of the spirit that was in Elijah was put upon Elijah was put upon Elisha. Elijah was first, Elisha came second. When I mix it up, y'all know I mixed it up. Okay. All right. So I'm telling you, you read about Elijah, you see the power of Almighty God. I mean, when they came to get Elijah on one occasion, 50 men came to get him. He by the power of God and according to the will of God, called fire down from heaven and devoured them. And he just said, just took them out of here. That's power. And this little sister knew there was a prophet in Israel. Now listen, she may have known that, but she had to have something else working in her life, because what was it in her that would have ever told the mistress? Said she would. Listen what she said. She said, it says, and she said unto her mistress, would God, in other words, she knows God, there's a God. Almost as Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. I know it's not exactly that, but she's saying, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. And that's what we're talking about Elisha here, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And remember, there's the only power that Elisha had was that which was given to him by Almighty God. The only power of the prophets of the Old Testament, they spake and they moved in the Old Testament by the power of Almighty God. We don't want today worship. There are people who would worship Elisha. There are people who would worship Elijah. There are people who actually believe they were gods. There were people who would like to make them gods. I want you to know Elijah was a man. And Elisha was a man. And there would be no power in either one of them were it not for the God of heaven who gave them that power. And that God who gave them that power is just the same today, in the sense that He is able to give us the power in the day and the age that we live in to be what He would have us to be. She said, for He would recover him of his leprosy. Now this is a statement of faith. Faith, isn't that a wonderful gift? Tonight, if you have faith, you have hope. If you have faith, you're trusting. I'm not talking about a feeble little flimsy wish. I'm talking about the gift of God which is evidence and substance. I'm talking about that which God has given you that allows you to know that Jesus died on the cross and paid a sin debt. That allows you to know that He went to the grave and He was raised again. That allows you to know that God the Father is sitting on the throne and God the Son is on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And that when we pray, we're not just speaking to ourselves in a room to try to make ourselves feel better. We're not talking to just some invisible force out there that maybe might be existing. There is a God of Abraham and a God of Isaac and a God of Jacob and a God of Israel and a God of Elijah and a God of Elisha that we pray to, who hears our prayers through the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ and is able to answer our prayers in accord with His will, which is always in our best interest. And if you're living that way, you're living in the peace and the rest of Almighty God. And if we're not living that way, we may be dismayed and afraid, and should not be, because we are told tonight to trust in the Lord. This little sister knew what the king of Syria didn't know. This little sister knew. She knew what Naaman didn't know. As honorable and valiant that he was a leper and had no answers for his leprosy. This little sister, others would look at her and think how insignificant, how meaningless, how purposeless her life is. You ever get the feeling like, I'm not very much. I know sometimes I look at my life and I think, boy, I didn't get very far and do that. I had some big ideas, some big plans, but a whole lot of them, thank the Lord, a whole lot of them went off somewhere else into another way. But where the Lord has brought me, I'll tell you, there's no better place than to gather tonight with two or three of the Lord's people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and come pray for our nation, come pray for ourselves, come hear about the Lord, come talk to Him who has the power to speak this world into existence and keeps it. By Him it consists and it continues in this world, and we're trusting by, and to have the faith. And by the way, we wouldn't know anything about that or care about it had He not reached down to us somewhere and touched our lives and given us the ability to see it. We'd be just like the king and Naaman and everyone else. But the king said, listen, one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. You see, he was concerned about Naaman, and he wanted him healed. And he said, if this is that, we will do what it takes. We'll do what it takes. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. See, Naaman just says, I think I can pay for this. I'm going to go get healed. I'm going to buy this. I'm telling you, what we have here tonight's not for sale. There is a buying that we're to do, buy the truth and sell it not. There is some giving away that we're to do to walk after the Lord. If you're going to follow the Lord, there is some things you've got to lay aside. There are some things you've got to discount. As a matter of fact, He says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. We're to count the cost, and the cost of discipleship is that we put Him first in our lives. And again, I'm not talking about how you become a child of God. I'm talking about how God's little children that are born of His Spirit by the power of Almighty God live their lives following the Lord Jesus Christ and committed to that. And living by faith and walking by faith that is God given. The king of Syria said, go to, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And boy, you know the king of Israel just waiting for that letter. He didn't even know that much about the prophet, obviously. Little Israelite girl, though, taken in captivity, knew all about it. Isn't that wonderful how God, He's hidden it from the wise and prudent, and He's revealed it unto babes. There'll be a lot of people who say, you mean you little bunch over there, y'all think you got the truth? You think, listen, if I didn't believe tonight the old Baptist people had the truth, I'd be somewhere else. I just would. Because I know there's a truth that's in this that's in this world that the Lord has given us in His Word. I believe there's a church that He's placed in this world. I believe there's a place where the truth is declared and taught. I believe He said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe He put His authority in His church. I believe He left it here in this world and that it will continue to come. And when the Lord comes again, He'll find a witness in this world. He'll not leave Himself without a witness. And the truth will be declared somewhere. I hope it is here at Happy Creek. It may or may not be. I hope it is. Hope we're obedient and following the Lord and the teachings of the Lord. And I know this. It'll be somewhere here. And if it's here, and I'm thankful by the grace of God. Not through my power or might or your power or might, but by the grace of God. And by the way, if we've seen it, it's because it's not because we got so smart. The Apostle Paul said, when he thought to be wise, he had to become a fool that he might be made wise. And so you got to unlearn before you can learn. You got to understand, you know, when I come to the house of God and I'm listening to a preacher preach, if I'm sitting there on the bench thinking I know more than that preacher, if I'm sitting there on the bench thinking he can't teach me anything, if I'm ever sitting there thinking because he's from here or he's from there or he's from somewhere else. Listen, if he's a God-called minister, if he's not God-called, he won't preach, he can't preach because he doesn't have the ability to preach. No man can preach unless he's called of God. But if he's a God-called minister, called by Almighty God, and God blesses him to preach, and I'm sitting in the congregation, there is something I can learn there. And the day I think I've got it all figured out is when I need to really learn how much I need to know. That's why I love to go to meetings where I can hear preachers. I went over today to hear Brother Forrest, and first thing Brother Forrest did was put me in the stand. So I said, I want to get out of here as quick as possible. Thought I'd take 10 minutes. Half an hour later, I just stopped and said, okay, Brother Forrest, I need to hear you. And he got up and the Lord blessed him this afternoon. He came to a scripture over in Hebrews that I've been troubled with for many years. And I've read commentary after commentary and I've tried to study it. I've looked at the language. I've broken it down, looked at it, and I just thought, you know, and at times I thought, well, I think I got it, and then it would still be too much rest. You ever had a scripture you tried to figure out, and you just had to rest it somewhere to try to get it in play? When you're doing that, you got something mixed up. And the Lord just blessed him. I don't even know how much he knows he's blessed him, but he blessed him to just lay out that thing in such a way that I was able to see it, and I've just been eating on it ever since. And I thank God for that. See, that's learning. And it wasn't done with you know, me coming in and saying, bro, explain. It was done by the power of God. It was done by the wisdom of God. It was done through what the world would call foolishness. And yet it is not foolishness, but the world calls it foolishness. He has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Foolishness of it, not foolish preaching. And that's very important. Not just getting up here in the stand and saying, boom, let me talk and do that. It's not doing that. It's not taking the Bible and just saying anything. It's taking the Bible as a minister of God, called of God, studying to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, but then trusting the Lord to bless us as we stand before God's people with liberty to preach the gospel in a way and a manner that will be beneficial to God's children. And I'm telling you, that's been a miraculous thing in my life. I've been in some form of what men call church all my life, and in some form of instruction. But until I saw men stand in the power of God and preach in the power of God, I found something when I saw that and heard that. First I heard of it was on the radio. I felt preaching that was in power and I got so excited. And then I went to a meeting and I thought the people that were preaching at that meeting, I thought they changed what they were preaching. I thought they were changing. That isn't what they used to preach, but I found out later it wasn't them that was changing. You see, I was seeing things that I hadn't seen before. I was learning things that I hadn't learned before, and I thought they were changing, but no, I was changing. When you see God in His sovereignty, when you see salvation in what Jesus has done for you and not what you've done for Him, When you understand that my home in heaven is purchased by the one who could not fail, he loved me, and the fact that I have a desire to love him and want to love him, even a want to, if I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those fruit of the Spirit, it's an evidence that I'm born of the Spirit. If I've got them, it's by God's grace that I have them. I didn't get them on my own. And he who began a good work in you, listen, brother, I don't know how little you might feel tonight. You might feel like a little maid where your whole life is left out, but she was a valuable character in the Word of God. Valuable by her own actions? No, but by the power of Almighty God. And there was some healing for Naaman. She knew about it because God had allowed her to see it. When I heard that gospel, it gave me peace in my heart and joy in my heart, and just to be able to sit down and rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the king of Assyria said, go, and I will send a letter. And we go to verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. How would you like to get a letter like that? I'm sending somebody over there to you, and we want you to take care of his leprosy. We want you to fix it. And this, we're talking about kings. We're talking about, you don't do it, fight. I mean, you're talking about war. You're talking about people dying. He said, and here's what he thought. It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes. He is so distressed. That was an action that was done to show the distress that he was under. He rent his clothes and said, am I God? You know what he's saying by that? Only God can heal leprosy. I'll tell you tonight, only God can forgive sins. Only God can. Only Jesus Christ, who was God, who was the verily God, has in His shed blood can wash us whiter than snow. Only God could heal a name, and only God can heal you and I. But he didn't have any trouble doing it. It came to pass when the letter of Israel had read, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and he said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. In other words, he's just looking for a fight, and that's a pretty good reason. He's just, and here you know, you think men change, don't you? But you see them again. Men have been always just like this. All, you know, politics have always been politics. Men have always been men. Women always women. Men by nature, we are the children of wrath, even as others. You see that throughout the reading of the Bible. You'll see men walking in the power of God and the next minute messing up. You see how God has dealt with us in His grace and His mercy down in the past, and is yet doing that today. Thanks be to God. Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, and notice who Elisha is identified in the Bible. I want to point that out because you need to see that. It's not just Elisha and his power. We're not here to worship Elisha tonight. The only power Elisha had was that he was the man of God. The only power any preacher has is that he's one who's called of God and blessed of God. The only power you have as a little child of God is that you are a little child of God. But let me say this to you. Tonight you have been encouraged and taught from the Word of God to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, which means you have the ability to walk in this world by the grace of God and face whatever's coming in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And so is there any reason to be dismayed and afraid? No. Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto thee, or unto you, the kingdom. He says, and it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that, and read on, he says, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? All right, let's read verse 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes. You see, you know that irritated the man of God. I don't think it was irritating because he disrespected him. It irritated him because to disrespect the prophet of the Lord, the one that the Lord had given that ability, had anointed, and had been a double spirit, is to disrespect the Lord. To disrespect the, and listen, I want us to see this tonight because there is an authority. I don't want us to ever worship a preacher. I don't want us ever to bow down to a preacher or think that the preacher and what he says is just the end all of everything. But I also want you to know that when a minister that is called of God stands before you and takes this Bible and preaches to you from the Word of God by the authority of God, and you have tried that and know it to be the truth, that is an authority that is not just the man's word, but it's what God has given you. It's God's word, and you are under His. You are under obligation to follow the things that are taught in God's word. And we want to keep a proper balance about that. Some so disrespect what comes from the pulpit that they say, well, that's just the preacher so-and-so, and we don't want to be following what they say. Hey, listen, it is only that if it's his opinion or it's not from the Word of God. But if it's from the Word of God, he is the one the Lord has called and given to you to preach and teach. And he's chosen in the day and age that we're living, he's chosen the foolishness of preaching, the preaching of the gospel, to feed and to teach his children. And when you're being taught by that, he can't do that for you. He can't do it for me. He has given that instruction for us to do. And for us to say, I'm just going to discount all that I've been taught from the pulpit. Now, at the same time, I want you to see this. You don't just take what any man says, no matter who he is, just for granted. That's the truth. You try it. You take your Bibles. That means you got to do a little digging. You got to do a little work. Brother Forrest told us today we were lazy. I thought that was good. He said most of the time we're just plain lazy. Bible term is sluggard and slothful. And what happens is we want it quick and instant. You know, when I get oatmeal in the morning, I just get a little pack, pour it over in there, and put a little milk, a little water, and heat it up in the microwave, and it's instant. Got it done. We want our religion sometimes that way. That's not what the Lord has. He's not called us to be lazy. He uses terms like to walk, fight the good fight of faith. That's not being lazy. He tells us to endure hardness as good soldiers. We're to be good soldiers. You've been called by God into a warfare. You're in this world. He's told us to put on the whole armor of God. He tells us to take my yoke upon you. You don't yoke up to go to sleep. You yoke up to get busy. And in your labor, you'll find rest. I love the way he said that too. You're getting, Brother Charles, just hanging there with me. There's a rest that's found in laboring. Not a rest after you've labored. It's in the process of laboring. You find rest. I'm telling you, when you get in this book, you spend some time in it, you read it, you study it, you feed on it, you take what you've heard from church, and then you come and you feed on it, and then you come to church, it'll make you hungry. I'll tell you, it makes preaching a lot easier when the congregation is hungry. It's hard to preach if the congregation, matter of fact, if it's not hungry, you can't feed those who aren't hungry. If they're not, he said, open your mouth wide. If you get your mouth closed, you can't feed. Do you understand tonight how much we need him? I need him for this week. I need him for tonight. I need him for this evening. I need him for tomorrow. I need him as whatever time he's coming. I need to know what his word says. He's given me his church as a pillar and ground of the truth. It's a depository where he's placed his truth, and it's where it goes forth. And then he calls ministers. And it's not our methods. It's not the way I would have designed it. It's not like I would have wanted it. But it's what God necessarily, in the flesh, it's absolutely contrary to what I would want. But it's the way God has designed it. And if we try to add to that or change it or corrupt it, we are not getting better with it. We're going to hide it. We want what he's given us, no more, no less. But part of it, he didn't give us that. You know, sometimes we get the idea he's done it all. We don't have anything to do. He's told us to get busy. He's told us we're to be students, to study. He's told us to search the scriptures. He's given us instruction. And then as we come as ministers, we come looking to the Lord to bless us and then to feed the congregation. And as you hear these things, you're to try to be good brethren, good Berean brethren. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things they were being taught are so. All right. The man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes. Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And if you read this just quickly, you'll think he's saying, boy, I'm something, just come to me. Listen, he's not. The only thing that makes Elisha something, he was speaking in the boldness of the power of God as a prophet of God who had been blessed of God with the ability and the leadership and the direction from God to be able to cure Naaman. He wouldn't have been able to cure Naaman had not God blessed him to do that. As a matter of fact, he didn't cure Naaman. The Lord cured Naaman. Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. Kind of like he drove up in his Cadillac. That's the way I look at this. He came in style. You know, I'm something. Naaman comes riding in. I'm something. Got his horses and his chariot. And stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a message. Elisha didn't even come out the house. Naaman said, now, I'm here now. I'm ready to buy this, ready to pay for it. I got all it needs. Come out and fix me. And I know exactly how to tell you. It's like going to the doctor, telling him what's wrong with you, and then telling him what medicine you want, and telling him to take it. This is what I'll do. It's what he's like. He knew all about it. When in actuality, he knew nothing. A little sister that he'd stolen somewhere was in his house, knew far more than he knew. He wouldn't even known about it, hadn't it been for the grace of God shown to her and allowed him to see it. But here's Naaman. He came with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, boy, that seemed like a message. That's way too easy. One thing I love about the truth is when you share it with somebody, many times they go, like, that's just too easy. Salvation by grace is just too easy. Salvation by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You mean we're going to be able to get to heaven through what Jesus did for us, and that was free, and you can't add to it or take from it. It was completely finished at Calvary. It's done, complete, and finished. And the answer to that is absolutely yes, because he said so in his word, and he keeps his word. Jesus said, it is finished. That sounds short, but it's true. Isn't it? Aren't you glad he said it is finished? What if he said, I did all I can do and now it's up to you? That's what you're hearing in the world a lot of times. Oh, it wouldn't be a good news. Because listen, if there's something left up to me and you, we'd all mess up that part. Jesus said, it is finished. He said to him, he said, just go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman, rather than just doing what God says, isn't it wonderful when you read the Bible, you know what you're supposed to do when you read the Bible? Or you, when you hear it preached, you're supposed to do what it says. But Naaman got upset. Some people get upset. And sometimes I'm reading it and I go, I don't like that. I'd rather that not say that. Listen, it says what it says and we need to do what it says. Naaman was wroth and went away. You know why? Because he thought he had a better way. And that's where man is. That's where man is religiously. Sometimes we think we have a better way. Listen, we don't need any way other than the way the Lord has given us. The way we're to worship him is the way that he's given us to worship him. And we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. We do that in praying and preaching and singing. And that is in the fellowship of the Lord. We don't need to add to that. There is no other new plan that's going to help that. No new direction. He's chosen the preaching of the gospel to feed and teach his children. The songs we sing, we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And we praise his name. And when you have a meeting like that, I believe it's as close to heaven as you'll ever get here in this world. You want to know what heaven's going to be? Just get a good church meeting. I hope you like a good church meeting. Because I believe, and listen, if you're a little child of grace, even if you have a little trouble with a good church meeting at its best doesn't hold a light to the perfection of that meeting we're going to have forever with the Lord. But it's going to be praying and preaching, and I don't know about preaching. We'll know as we're known. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to be praising the Lord. Okay. Before I get over farther than I need to. Back to the word. He said, so Naaman and Elisha sent a messenger. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. He didn't say wash 6 times, 5 times, 4 times, 3 times. He said 7 times. Why 7 times? Because God said 7. It's a complete number. But God said do it 7 times. Why Jordan? Because God said Jordan. Did it matter whether it's Jordan or not? Well, yes, it did, because God said Jordan. Did it matter whether it's 6 times or 7? Yes, because God said 7. And what God says, by faith we receive. God knows best. We do it. And it will, every time, you will not be ashamed when you trust the Lord. I ask you, you search your life by what you know from the Word of God. Has there ever been a time you've trusted the Lord and you were ashamed you did it? The answer to that is already, I can tell you, no. And if you think it isn't, then you're wrong. And I don't mean that hatefully, but it's true. The Lord has never and will never let down one of His children. He may not give you what you wanted, but if what you wanted isn't what you needed, He will always supply your needs according to the riches of His grace, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Okay. He went away. Naaman draws. He's leaving. Leaving. Came a leper, leaving a leper. Why? Just because simply wouldn't listen. Now, he said, behold, I thought. Yeah, isn't that something? Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble and it's all because we think. The Bible says for us to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on their own understanding. You ever had your own thinking get you in trouble? I already know the answer. Gets us in trouble. Sometimes preachers, we get in the stand and we think we ought to go this way to get us in trouble. Listen, where we get stay out of trouble is by staying in the Word. Have you ever noticed that? We've all seen ministers, myself included, get themselves in trouble. When do they get in trouble? When they get away from the book. When they start bringing in things that really aren't here. When they're staying with the book, they stay with the Word. I've heard some men do some, well, I won't go into all that, but when they stay with the Word, stay with the truth, we stay on solid ground. When we get off the Word, well, we're on shifting sand. He said, I thought. This is what he thought. Here's what he thought. He said, first of all, he will surely come out to me. Well, he didn't even come out of his house. And then he said, and stand. I thought he'd come out here and stand, look at me face to face, like I'm somebody. After all, I drove up in my Cadillac. You know, I got my horses and my chariots. And he says, and call on the name of the Lord. He's already figured out how it was going to be done. And he says, and then, and his hand over the place and recover the leper. He thought, this is how it's going to be done. Men have their ideas about how it's going to be done. We're not to have our own ideas. Somebody says there is no truth. It's just this truth or that truth or some other truth. There's lots of ways. No, there are not lots of ways. There's one way. There's one truth. There's one life. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. We're not to go any other way. Not to go after any other thing. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved, must be delivered. There is only one who can deliver God's little children here in time. This is a timely deliverance for a little brother that he was about to miss and go away. I believe his eternal inheritance wasn't about this. His eternal home was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And this also was a blessing that came through the cross, but he was about to miss this timely blessing because he was about to walk away in arrogance and ignorance. And I'm telling you tonight, I believe without a doubt, God's little children can be arrogant and ignorant and miss the blessings the Lord has for us. I believe, I know in my own life, I've experienced that. And that's just about what happened here. But God be merciful, the servants were there. Notice who are the wisest in the story. It's not the big wheels. It's the servants. He said, as he was about to walk away, And not only that, he says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? In other words, why would I go dip in that old Jordan River? Why would I do that? We got better rivers at home. I can dip in those rivers. Why won't they work just as good? Because God didn't say, go dip in them. There wasn't anything miraculous about the waters of Jordan. There was nothing miraculous in the waters we were baptized in the Shenandoah River. It wasn't the water that made the baptism wonderful and blessing. It was in obedience to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't the material that we had. I'm thankful you just needed a sufficient amount of water to be buried in. And here he was, as he says here, he needs to go and wash in Jordan 7 times and just in obedience to the commandments of the Lord. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. He said, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? In other words, why couldn't I just go there? And so he turned and went away, get this, in a rage. Real happy, isn't he? You know how God's children are when they walk in disobedience? Like that. Just like that. Miserable. You ever been there? Just miserable. Rebelling. Going my way. Thinking you're right. Oh, nobody's going to tell me I'm wrong. Nobody's going to. I don't want to hear that. And that's just, I'm talking to me. If it hits you, fine. But listen, let's not do that. Let's submit ourselves to the Word of God. That's what He says, let's do it the best we can. What He tells us to do, trust Him. You lean on Him. All right. And His servants came near and spake unto him. I know time is way past. And said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, the servants, wouldn't thou not have done it? Oh, if he'd have said do some great thing, wouldn't you have gone and done that? He said, But how much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean. And then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. Not 5 times, not 4 times, not 6 times, 7 times. According, get this, to the saying of the man of God. Don't leave the Lord out of this. No power without the Lord. No power in Elisha. No power in Elijah. No power without the Lord. And his flesh, get this, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. It didn't just start getting better. You know, wonderful how the Lord cleanses completely. Can I say to you tonight, the Lord who washed you whiter than snow, washed you whiter than snow. Your sins, though they be as scarlet, are washed whiter than wool. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. You have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and made fit to serve Him and worship Him here below, and also to one day be ushered into heaven in immortal glory, and it's all through the blood of Jesus. And he was clean, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. But now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant, still wanting to pay for something. And he said, As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? In other words, give me 2 mules with some of this dirt. And that's dirt that's from here. And the reason I believe is he wanted to be identified with the children of Israel. He wanted to be identified with them when he went to worship. And so he said, For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. So he had been guilty of that. The next verse tells us that. And in this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant, that when my master going into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. He had been guilty of idol worship. And I don't believe, you know, you read this, and because of the tenses of everything, it seems like he's saying, I'm about to do this again, and will you excuse me? Listen, God, you don't say, Lord, I just want to keep on doing this, just if you give me of this. That's not the lesson here. The lesson is here, he's been convicted of idol worship. And he said, this is what I did. He's describing what he had done. And he's saying, forgive me for that which I have done. Forgive me for that. And he didn't want to do it. I'm not going to do that anymore, because henceforth thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. And then Gehazi got into trouble, the servant of Elisha. Because as you read on there, he saw that opportunity to have some of this. Wanted that money. Wanted those goods. And so he went to try to get that, and thinking I could hide from the Lord. But you see, the prophet knew that as well, because God had allowed him to see that. And the very leprosy of Naaman fell on Gehazi. Oh, a lot more there, but we'll stop. You have a mind to pray. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. I feel like I'll leave that alone. If there's been anything worthwhile, I'll give the Lord the praise. Again, I appreciate your kind attention. May God bless you. Is our prayer.